Good evening, everyone. It's nice to see you in the house of God this evening. I see a few visitors with us, and I think it'd be nice when the visitors are here that you would turn around there and shake hands with someone and tell them they're very welcome in the house of God this evening. But let's just bow together in prayer. Let's pray. We have Jeannie Graham, and she's going to give a word of testimony. And we trust that this testimony will be used to the glory of God and to the blessing of your soul this evening. Let's bow together in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for bringing us into the house of God this evening. We thank you, Lord, for your presence, which is a reality amongst us. And we thank you, O God, that we can gather into your house and sing your praises and tell of the wonderful things that the Lord has done for us. Lord, as the hymn writer said, for all the Lord has done for me, I'll never cease to praise him. Lord, we ask that a note of praise and thanksgiving will well up within our hearts. And Father, each and every one, for whatever reason and purpose for which they're gathered here this evening, might experience something of the enriching power and the wonderful grace of our great God and Savior. We thank you for his great love. We thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the one who gave his life a ransom for many. Lord, if it weren't for him, we would have no hope. We were without hope. Lord, we were, as Paul described in Ephesians 2, out of the commonwealth of Israel. We were without hope and without God in this world. Lord, what it means then to be in God and to have God. We have hope and we have possession and we have purpose. And we have many of the blessings that your word describes. And so we pray, Father, that this will be a soul-saving, soul-winning meeting. Lord, it'll be a sin-destroying, hell-defeating, blood-glorifying meeting where men and women will be born again of God's Spirit. And we ask, Lord, that you'll possess each and every one. For every one that touches the meeting, we pray that you'll use them for your own eternal glory. We think of Jeannie, Lord. Help her to feel at home amongst us. We pray, Father, for the hymns and songs we'll sing. And, Father, we ask, O God, for your rich blessing to be upon us. Lord, for every saint or sinner that's bowed in your presence, may none leave this place the same way they came. For we ask it in the Savior's name. Amen. you trust and obey. Someone has said, I was blessed in that meeting. You know what I'm going to say next? Marie McCarroll says, you are never blessed until you obey what God says to you. And as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The greatest and the best example of all of that was the day that you heard him speaking to your soul and convicting you of your sin and your need. And you knew that you needed to do something about that sin. The moment that you do something about it, you repent and turn to him and trust the finished work of Calvary, it's then that you know the blessing of sins forgiven. Isn't that right? Oh, you're a boring bunch tonight. And you see, it works like that all the way through your Christian life. When you hear him speak to you, he shows something in your life that you need to deal with. You deal with it, and the blessing comes. That's the way it works. Jeannie, you are very welcome to this pulpit tonight. You've been a friend for many years. Your testimony has been very clear. We're thankful to God for what he's done for you. I'm going to ask you to come now and share in that word of testimony, please.
Now, don't worry, brother. I've got my watch because there's not a chance I'd be looking at that clock at the back. But if I go to talk too long, you can just give me the evil eye so you can. Do you know, isn't it true? Why are we here tonight? We're here to praise a wonderful three times holy God. I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. Do you know, a testimony is a very personal thing. And sometimes it may come across, I. But friend, tonight, even though there would be a person's name, Jeannie, mentioned in it, if you hear any good thing, and you will because we're here to talk about Jesus, friend, remember, there's no good thing in me, and all the glory belongs to my three times holy God. Do you know, I was saved as a little girl in 1975. Now, I would just know that you could hardly imagine that I am that old. Well, I would. See, I tell myself that, and I think I'm so young. But you know what? The secret is I have nearly as many grey hairs as him. So I have. But then I have a 16-year-old daughter, and she puts a wee day in the cupboard. Oh, you'll see an Esther at the end of midnight. But it was way back. I wasn't born into a Christian home, but at the age of 3, my dad got saved. And the Bible does say, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. My daddy worked in a public bar, and as soon as he got saved, well, our home changed. And I can just vaguely remember it. But what I do remember is I do believe that my father thought that it was his role to enroll me to every single meeting going on in the town, because that's just what it seemed like. And then at the end of my first year in Sunday school, we were having our Children's Day service. And you ever get slagged about your names? You know, one of my very best male friends is with me tonight. Now, his name is Elvis. Now, not that he would get any slagging about that. And then you have Jeannie with the light brown hair, Jeannie of the Lamp. But this man's name was called Theodore Danson Smith. Now, isn't that some mouthful? But so we'll just count our blessings what we're called, Elvis. But you know what a godly man he was. And I remember just as a little child in that Children's Day service of how he told us that the Bible says, it's not a man that says it, it is the man of God that says it. It is God the Son himself. And what does he say? He says, ye must be born again. He does not say that you need to be a certain type of religion. He says, ye must be born again. And as a little girl, I remember praying that little prayer. Maybe you've just prayed it yourself sometime. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And you know the wonderful thing about it is he did just that. He came into my heart and he washed my sins away in his precious blood. And truly I can say that that was the day of my salvation. And then whenever I came a little bit older and went into high school, and I can honestly say that I had good intentions. I remember whenever I was meant to be in the cooking, your man's a teacher, are you? Where is he? The man that went, you're a teacher, brother, aren't you? I'll be careful what I say. Hey, I was meant to be in the stores and cleaning out the cookery stores. And I remember telling my friends their need of salvation, and instead of doing what I was meant to be doing for the teacher. But then far away fields do look green. And you see, we have to remember that this is a battlefield, and if we are blood washed and blood bought, well then we have an enemy at our back, and that enemy is going to do anything he can and everything he can to discourage the saint of God and to get us to take our eyes off the altogether lovely one and to get us to look down and to get us to look at people that are not walking with God. And then what does he do? He paints this picture and he gets us to imagine all of these crazy things, and you know they are crazy, because then we start to imagine, oh, we're missing out. It's just like in Banbridge where I come from, and there's the coach on a Saturday night. And if you went down and you saw the people going into the coach, and what are they doing? They're laughing, they're joking, they're carrying on. And if we're driving past, the devil may plant a seed into our heart and say, look at them, they're having a brilliant time. And look at you, you're a child of God, and you're struggling along. Oh, friend, if we could just go into that home the next morning and pull the curtain away, the devil is a liar and a deceiver, and what will befriend broken lives? Oh, I know it costs you to walk with God. Without a doubt it does, but it costs us more not to walk with God. But that's what the devil did. Started to plant seeds in my heart that my friends were allowed to do all these things I wasn't allowed to do. And before I know it, at the age of 13, I had taken my eyes off the Lord, and I never imagined. I used to sing as a little girl, a sunbeam, Jesus wants me for a sunbeam, a sunbeam, a sunbeam, I'll be a sunbeam for him. But I never imagined. See, here's the thing. I thought in my heart, well, I am blood washed, and I was, and I'm on my way to heaven, and I am. But I can dabble around in sin. And as long as my dad doesn't find out, all's going to be well. But that is not so. The devil gets a foothold in the door, and he's there to rack and to destroy and to discourage every child of God's. You see, at the age of 13, I thought it was okay to take that first drink. There is a little song our brother Willie McRae sings, sin will take you further than you want to go, and it will cost you more than you want to pay. And you never, ever imagine that you'll stoop so low. I thought it's a bit of crack, just a bit of fun. Sure, what's the harm? And little did I know, he got a foothold in. Just a couple of years later, I would be lying in my bedroom and waiting. You see, my testimony will not be your testimony. And why do we tell testimonies? Is it to glorify the devil and things that we've done in the world? Not at all. But it is, because we live in a real world. And you know, we have to be open and show people that there is a God that can meet you at the point of your need, no matter where you are tonight. And you see, the devil didn't tell me. He says, oh, Jeannie, come on, you can have a great time. All will be well. But at the age of 15, that I would be lying in my bedroom and waiting on Daddy to come in to see me. And the reason being is because his little 15-year-old daughter was pregnant. Sin had taken me down a road that I never imagined that I would walk. I'll never forget him opening that door and the shame upon his face. I'm just giving you an honest account. But I'll never forget the love in his heart whenever he says, Jeannie, the world will beat you, but I won't. In fact, he worked in the Mays prison, and we can say all sorts of things now that the prison's closed. But there was this brother, and maybe someday I will be blessed to meet him. But the Lord put it upon his heart. You know the big white handkerchiefs that the Isle Boys use? You know them white ones? Let me see, Trevor, you're bound to have one in your pocket, do you? Look, he does. Look, there, Madden there. Well, he had painted a cartoon character on one side, and on the other side it said, sister, are you weary tonight? Is your heart broken? It says, come unto me, unsafe person. It says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. A friend, I remember pinning that in the back of my bedroom door. But instead of running to him, I had a wee boy on the 24th of May, 1986. His name was Kyle. That's almost 27 years ago. But instead of running to the Lord, you see, the Lord wasn't judging me. Yes, the Lord knew I messed up. But he is the altogether lovely one. And he remembers that we're only flesh. And he is not willing that any of us should perish. And he's ready to forgive. But we must come and we must ask for forgiveness. And perhaps you are in the meeting tonight and maybe you think, oh, here she's going to go down a road now and she's going to get the big black bucket of paint out and she's going to paint the blackest picture of sin that you can. Well, you know, friend, I'm not. Because you know what the Bible says about sin? The Bible says there's pleasure in it. Isn't it true if we started at the very youngest and went from seat to seat, we could all tell a happy tale or something funny that we didn't drink or didn't whenever we're not saved. I said to Valerie, what will I tell them? She says, you tell them this. I remember my dad. And my daddy had backslid for a few years in between and he had an alcohol addiction. And I remember one night he went into the kitchen and it was Christmas time and he thought to himself, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make, does he ever get the munchies when you're drunk? I used to get the munchies all the time. And he would have said, I'm going to make myself some Christmas cake and lovely wee bit of custard. So in he went and he ate, his heart was content. And the next morning he went in and he looked and he went, oh dear, he says that custard's curdled. And he put his finger in and he went, Christmas cake and chicken soup. And we can all say a time in our lives when we've did something in a sinful state which is funny. Why? Because the Bible says it. There is pleasure in sin. But be not deceived, because we forget about the last part of the verse. It's only for a season. And at the beginning, the devil will tempt you and everything will be wonderful. Oh, friend. But when sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Now, years tumbled by. And I have to say that by 1995, I had an alcohol addiction. I had another child out of marriage. Then whenever I got married, my husband had an addiction to alcohol as well. And instead of putting them wee lambs on my knee and telling them that Jesus loved them, I was just dragging them in the road to hell. Does your mommy tell you Jesus loves you? Does your mommy make you come to church and you hate it? Oh, thank God she loves you enough to tell you you're in need of salvation. That's a true mother's love. But there was a stage in my life, and I can honestly say on the 12th of November 1995 that I was so very low. Friend, are you so very low tonight? Are you sick of your sin? Is your life a mess? Because mine was. In fact, I was that low. It just seemed as if I even had to reach up to touch the very bottom. Could you just sum it up like this, friend? Perhaps this is you, as was it me. When you have nothing left but God, then for the first time, you will become aware, friend, that God is enough. And in my living room, with a broken, shattered life, an old drunkard knelt down at her settee. And it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. It says, for whoso findeth me, findeth life. And you might say, well, Jeannie, if you had an alcohol addiction, did you give it up? Well, yes, I did. I did give the alcohol up. How'd you do it? I prayed, Lord, would you take my back? And Lord, do you see this booze? Will you take the very desire of it out of my body? And you know that wee course rolled away, and the burden of my heart rolled away. Well, just like that, forgiveness of sins came. And the burden of my heart rolled away. And God came into my living room and met this old drunk at the point of her need. Can you see, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Now, friend, if you have an addiction, whether it be alcoholism, maybe you're struggling with homosexual feelings tonight. Maybe you are a homosexual. Maybe you have a drug problem. I don't know. Maybe you've just had an affair. Friend, I want to tell you that there's not a sinner so low that the blood of Christ can't cleanse your sin, for Jesus died and paid the price for your sin on Calvary. Now we're in trouble. You won the way, because I have not long left, and that was 17 years ago. And boy, could I talk all night about our Lord. Because, you see, the devil promises you everything, doesn't he? What does he give you? He doesn't even give you that muck on a silver platter. But my God is not a God that he shall lie. And isn't it true in our Christian life? There are times that our hearts could just explode. And the blessing of God comes and he says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and I will give thee the desires of thine heart. And does he do it? Yes, he does. And isn't the mountaintops wonderful? I remember my niece, and this is many years ago, and I used to have a little children's meeting in my home. And we prayed that the Lord would deal with our heart. And one night, just about after 10 o'clock, my phone rang. And I said, hello. And there was Sarah on the phone. And what you doing? She's bawling her eyes out. And I said, yes, Lord, delight thyself. Because he just gave me a desire of my heart. Because I knew that he had saved my niece. She is over 20 today. And she still loves the Lord. Isn't God great? But you know, you could be here tonight, whether saved or unsaved. And especially this next part is just for the saved. But you know, even if you're unsaved, every promise that is quoted in this book can be yours if you come to God tonight. If you have a broken life, well, Jesus is the master of broken lives. He can fit them right back together so beautifully, so he can, if you will but trust in him. But isn't it true that in our Christian life, it's not always up in the mountain? There's some times that we're down in the valley, and you can have a smile as wide as the ocean. But isn't it true, sister, that you can have a heartache just as deep? And perhaps you're in here tonight and you're saying, well, I have done this and I have done that, and I try my best to walk with the Lord. And why? Why is this happening? Why has God allowed this tragedy to come into my lives? Now, I have many examples, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to share one with you. And I can't answer that question, but I can tell you this, brother, on the authority of this book, that our Father says that our tears are so very precious that he would not allow one to fall to the floor. He loves us so much, yeah, with an everlasting love. You say, but my heart's broke. How can I let me cry? He bottles our tears, every single one of them. And in my experience, and I believe, that if God allows trial or tribulation to come into one of his children's lives, it is for one of two reasons. It's either for our good or for his glory. A friend, are you in trouble tonight? You see, 3 years ago, it was 3 years just before Christmas time, and I have four children. My second boy, and his name is Ryan. And tell you the truth, I was going along a little bubble. So I was working in the Sunday school and doing this, that, and the other. And well, to tell you the truth, I suppose it was just full of pride. So it was as well. And I could notice in my home, when Ryan was a wee boy, it was him that started the children's meeting in our home, because he used to bring everybody down to the house and say, Mommy, have you told them about Jesus? Well, the truth was, I hadn't even thought about telling them about Jesus. And God convicted me through that to tell people to open up the doors for a children's meeting. And then I remember the very night, many years ago, we were sitting in Manbridge Baptist, and Victor Maxwell was saying, all you have to do is ask the Lord into your heart. Place is lovely and quiet just like that, and we're up in the balcony, and Ryan goes out loud, into your heart, she's far too big, how could he get into your heart? And out of my four children, and I still believe this in my heart to today, even though he's a bit of a rascal, they say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, but I could see potential. And if the devil sees potential, you can be sure the devil tries to wreck a life. And I knew that whenever I opened God's word, you see, it says, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Doesn't mean that he won't backslide. Doesn't mean that he won't walk the way of the world. But the word of God will be in here, and the word of God will not depart from the heart of man. And I knew things weren't going very well, and he was starting to get into trouble. And whenever he came into our home, I could One Monday is okay and next Monday is exploding. And I didn't tell anybody. And the reason why I didn't tell anybody is because I was thinking, oh, well, what's going on here? And this shouldn't be happening to me. And I do this and I do that. I was just full of pride. And then the day after Boxing Day, he ran away. And it was then that I confided in three friends. And the reason why I ran away, we came home from church and it was the Lord's Day and he wanted to do something. And I says, no, it's the Lord's Day and you're not going to do it. And he said he was, and out he went and he did it. And I remember that night just laying in my bed and crying. And you see, my back was against the wall. But friend, when your back's against the wall, if you're a child of God, you can be sure that the Lord is there to help us. And that night I did not know where my son was, but my father knew, and he was the only thing that I had that I knew that would keep him safe. And he came back 5 days later, but things started to go downhill, and it'll be 3 years ago now in February the 23rd, but on February the 22nd I remember sitting in the living room. And it was before I was going to go up and do the reading, and I remember praying, oh God, I just want you to give me a word for Ryan. And I just opened the Bible like that. Some people don't believe in that, but God gave me a word for my son that night. And the word that I went up and read to him was, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Is there a son in here tonight? My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. My son, can you hear the love of Jesus? He said, my son, I want to warn you here. I'm not out with a big whip. I'm saying it in love. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from them. And it was... went up and I read it and I could see that he wasn't very pleased. And the next day I'm going over to school and I'm praying away to the Lord and talking to him about Ryan. And I'm saying, Lord, I don't know what's going on. I was smelling for drink and couldn't smell drink. One minute he's all right, the next minute he's exploding, he's fighting, he's doing everything. And the hardest thing was is that he is so rebelled against the Lord. And it was just a tragic time. But I remember praying, Lord, I want you to stop him in his tracks. Now, I want you to see the beauty of our God and how he has our lives fitted together like a jigsaw and how all things work together for good. And then whenever I got to the school, I used to be in a nursery school, I remember I phoned him. I usually only did this here if I'd said something or was cross or something. But I phoned him and I said, Ryan, I love you, I love you, I love you. He set the phone down. I went into the nursery and another fellow, Ryan McKee, came in and I said, Ryan, well, what were you preaching this morning? And he says, well, I was preaching the prodigal son. And it was almost as if I could hear the Lord saying, Jeannie, you're going to have to let him go. And then a sister who did not know my circumstances, who I worked with, because I hadn't confided in her, she came over to me. I had my house in the market and I still do have my house in the market just in case there's anybody looking to buy a house in Banbridge. And she said to me, Jeannie, you know the way you photocopy it and there was two readings. She says, now Jeannie, that's about your house, about the promised land. And she says, see that there? And she didn't mean any harm, but she says, that's about stupid land, it's not for you. But as I read it, why do we read our Bibles every day? Because we do not know what a day will bring forth. And yet, is it not true that the Father prepares our hearts for things that he knows are coming our way? And as I read it, it talked about the shepherd. It said, and there came a lion, and how the shepherd came, and the lion came to steal the lamb, and the lion had the lamb in his very mouth, and he was ready to rip that lamb asunder. And what did the shepherd do? The shepherd went and he took the lamb out of the lion's mouth. I went home later on and it was about the trials of life, and in my heart it sank. And then just after 6 o'clock, I phoned Ryan to see where he was, and there was no answer. And automatically, the phone rang back, and this lady said, I'm sorry to tell you, I'm sorry to tell you. Now think of the providence of God. Me phoning him, the prayer in the morning, me telling him I loved him, the last words. Then the prodigal son, and there came a lion. directed me to phone that house at that, or that phone call at that exact time. And she said, your son Ben's here and he's taking an overdose. I says, oh no, you don't call my son Ben. But you see, if I hadn't phoned that house or that phone call at that time, the police were going to be looking for Ben's mummy and daddy, not for me. And she says, Ben and Jason, as soon as you said that, I knew that it was my son. If you know Banbridge, she said, she lived in Pinley Park. It's like a monkey puzzle. And I used to live there as a little girl, and I knew exactly where to go to. And as I was driving up the road and walked into that house, and there's a two-seater sofa, and my son sitting on one side of it with an oxygen mask on, with his head like that, and the other wee fella's laying, and the medics are fighting for their lives. And there came a lion. And the only thing that was going to carry me through was the Word of God. And what had happened was they had taken a tramadol overdose. You say, what? Why tramadol? Because they'd run out of marijuana. And tramadol has opium and had done it slow releasing. And they had tried to get high on the tramadol, but they'd taken far too much. I remember going to the hospital and just praying and praying and claiming the promises of God. Sister, have you a wayward child? Well, if you have a promise from God, you cling to it, because our God is not a God that he should lie. And then the lady, the doctor, whenever he was transferred into intensive care and put on a life support machine, remember the doctor holding this bag, and she says, Mrs. Graham, nobody takes this and lives. And I says, but God, you promised me that you were going to pour your spirit upon my seed and your blessing upon my offspring. And Father, you haven't done it yet. And God is not a God afar off. And we serve a God of miracles. And God answered prayer. And Ryan didn't die. But I have to give an honest account. And the next months were the darkest, darkest months of my life. In fact, I really believed that this was the greatest curse that God could ever run around the streets night and day looking for him. Me and Valerie one night driving around the town to see if we could find him. And then it came to another night. And this other night, he's outside on the window ledge. Now, people say, cannabis will never kill you. Cannabis causes depression. Cannabis causes anxiety. Cannabis causes paranoia. And when my child was full of cannabis, he was out the other side of the window ledge of a two-story building trying to, ready to go head first. Only the Lord sent me in at that exact time to pull him to safety. And it seemed as if there was no hope. Friend, is that you tonight? You seem as if there is no hope in your life. Well, listen, the devil will tell you all hope is lost, but we have hope in Jesus, and he is not a God afar off. And he says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and he promises, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. We had a wee prayer meeting specifically. It was the second Sunday of May, specifically for Ryan. Now, do you see, this time, it was to pray my business. But you see, this time, I couldn't have cared less who knew my business. Because I knew, see, if you were blood washed and blood bought, I told the country. Because I knew that child had one hope, and it was Jesus. And I needed God's people to pray. And I thank God for the family of God that wept for his soul. And then the second Sunday of May, coming up 3 years, was that first prayer meeting. The drugs stopped. And there's never been drugs in my home from it. Isn't God good? Now, I could talk all night. Amend it. Why did God allow that to come into my life? Well, there is a book, and it's not my book. I haven't wrote it yet. And it says, the greatest jewels come from crystallized tears. Through that experience, I left the nursery school that I was in, and God led me under a new ministry, and now I'm involved in schools. In fact, it started off whenever I handed my notice in, all I had was one verse. I hadn't won school, and it says, behold, the Lord said unto me, I have begun to give thee Zion and his land before thee. Begin to possess, that thou mayest inherit the land. Today, I'm in 43 schools this year, and it's not a one-off. You actually spend 5 hours with each primary six and primary seven class. I cover what it says in the PDMU, smoking, alcohol, drugs, peer pressure, solvent abuse, and apply the Bible to each lesson. And you see now, I can honestly say, the thing is this you and you're wondering why. God has a plan that it may glorify him. And the thing that seemed the greatest curse to my life, I can honestly say, thank you, God. It has become the greatest blessing. Because the doors to the Catholic schools are wide open. And I'm having the time of my life. The doors to the Protestant schools are wide open. Would you pray for me? I thought this was a small church and I brought 10 of these. I've only got 10 of them. It is, there's a wee committee, our brother Elvis formed it, and I work for two different committees. One's the Temperance Council, and it's based in Portadown. Down. It covers Portadown and Lurgan area. And this data, drug, alcohol, tobacco awareness, it covers the other areas. It's full time. I'm there every day, so I am. Just pray. Pray that I would be a light in a darkened place. Pray that God uses these experiences to encourage people that our God is, sister, he is a God of miracles. Thank you.
That was a blessing, wasn't it? What the Lord can do for us and through us. He not only saves, but he redeems. He redeems. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. We're going to lift an offering just now. But I feel we should pray, perhaps for someone in this gathering just now. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this clear and this very definite word of testimony. And it has been obvious to us, Lord, that you don't only save, but you redeem. You restore, you revive, you refresh, you renew. And Lord, as Joseph learned, ye meant it to me for evil, but God turned it around for good. And Lord, we know that in this church there are many who are hurting, many grieving for their loved ones, and Father, perhaps praying and have been holding on. We believe, Lord, that you have ministered into their circumstances even this evening. Lord, for those who are bound and fettered in sin, and some old habit and snare, we ask, Lord, that even tonight they'll be able to put their hand into the Master's hand, who lifted them out of the gutters of sin and set them upon the rock. Accept of our thanks for all your goodness to us. We bring our offerings and our tithes to thee just now as a little recognition to the great grace and the love of God for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to get you to remain seated for the first part of number 85. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It is a slightly different tempo to what you're used to, but bear with us.
Oh,
Lord has most definitely been at work in our meeting already this evening. We're so glad and so thankful, sister, for that very honest and very genuine word of testimony. And I believe has been a tremendous blessing and ministry to many hearts. Of course, Jeannie doesn't know the circumstances that many of you face in your own homes. And yet, isn't it wonderful that God knows? I want us to turn, please, and I'm not going to delay the meeting much longer, but to Hebrews in chapter 7. And it's just a verse that I believe the Lord brought to my heart, or a few verses I believe the Lord brought to my heart when I was thinking about this meeting, and just to bring it to a conclusion. Hebrews in chapter 7. And we're going to read from verse 25 to the end of the chapter. And then we're just going to tie up this meeting. And listen, if God has spoken to your heart, it's lovely to see those who met with the Lord last Lord's Day in the service this evening. And I'm sure if they were able to come up here and had the nerve to come up here, they'd say what the Lord has done for them. I've been talking with them on the phone, and they're rejoicing in what the Lord has done. Some of them went out and bought Bibles the next day and are reading them together as a couple. Thank God for that. And I'm sure that if they had the nerve to come up in here and tell you what the Lord had did, they'll be able to verify what we're saying. He can change your life. He can change your life. He can break the shackles of sin, and he can set you free. He's a wonderful Savior. He is well able to do more than you can imagine this evening. And we're reading about that just now. Hebrews chapter 7, reading from verse 25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh a son who was consecrated forevermore. My text is found in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for him. I can remember listening to a story of a friend. In fact, I actually happened on the scene. A friend had gone into the shuck on the side of the road as he was traveling along. You know what a shuck is, don't you, around these parts? He was probably going a little bit too fast, like some of you people, and he came into this corner, and he wasn't able to take the corner, and he went into the shuck. Well, we arrived, a few of us, and we tried to pull him out, and we tried to push him out, and we tried to do everything to get him out, but the car was well stuck. He was absolutely stuck to the axles. Well, there was a farmer not too far away, and the son came along with his tractor. I'm not exactly sure of what it was. I think it was a Massey Ferguson 135. Oh, real massive. Not right, some of you farmers. And he came along, and there was the tractor, and it was spinning away, and the front wheels were up in the air, and he couldn't manage it. And then the father said to the young fellow who owned the tractor, he says, go back to the farm, and he says, get the big tractor. Well, when he came back with the next tractor, I thought I was going to come see some giant of a thing, but it wasn't much bigger than the other one, and it made no difference. The car, we had to get a real tow truck to get him pulled out of the hedge. And you know, that's true of the efforts that man makes about trying to save himself. He tries all kinds of mechanisms and all kinds of means to try and change his life because he knows that his life isn't right and he knows his life isn't what it ought to be. There are a number of things that man tries. He tries his own practices. You know, he tries turning over a new leaf. He tries getting away from things. He tries changing the circumstances. They even try changing their job. They try to do everything to deal with the situation of their heart. Man has his own practice, and we know that they fail. And not only that, but he has his own philosophies. His own philosophies. Just think of all the different philosophies that man has. Some think it's all to do with your upbringing. And it's all to do with education. Let's educate one another and see, can we educate ourselves in this whole scene? Maybe that'll make us all better. It's all down to education. And we know that whether it's education, religion, whatever, we can have confirmed rascals and educated rascals. There's nothing will change or nothing will save other than the saving power of Jesus Christ. And I'm sure you'll agree with me. Wherefore, he is able to save unto, to the uttermost them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. I want to look at this little text for the last 5 minutes or so, and I'm not going to be very long. I just want to tie up the meeting. And here's the first thing that I bring from this little text. The specific power of the Lord. See, he deals with sin. He doesn't deal with the periphery. He doesn't deal with your circumstances. Some people think that if God would deal with my circumstances, my background or my home or the situations in which I face, then I'll be able to change my life and turn over a new leaf and maybe things will start to improve for me. You know, the first thing that Jesus deals with is the sin problem. Luther got it right when he said that the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. And from there springs all those other things. You see, tonight, you're not a sinner because of the things you do. You do the things because you're a sinner. And we get it back to front and upside down, and we think, well, we see someone lay on the side of the road and they're drunk and out of their mind with alcohol and drugs. Well, we'd say they're a real bad sinner. Well, it is because they were a sinner at heart that they got into that condition. There is none righteous, says the Bible. No, not one. And the very first thing that Jesus will deal with in your heart and life tonight will be the sin problem. You see, the specific power of the Lord is that he deals with your sin. Here's how Paul put it when he was writing to Colossians. He led captivity captive and he gave gifts to men. He deals with the issue of the heart. Maybe you've got a black heart and the thoughts, you would be embarrassed if anybody knew what was going through your mind. Or the appetites that comes upon your life. Or the habits that have gripped hold of your life. You'd be embarrassed if anyone knew about the condition of your heart. Tonight, it doesn't matter whether the preacher knows about it. It doesn't matter if the person that's sitting beside you knows about it. And it doesn't matter if your mother or father knows it. God knows. And the interesting thing about it, even though he knows, he still loves you. Isn't that wonderful? Is that not the message that has come over here this evening? The love of God, so rich and powerful and wonderful. And tell you something, God so loved the world. And we haven't even got to the very root of what that really means. Because God loves me in spite of what he knows about me. And he loves us so much that he hates to see this sin that has been ingrained and has been stained in our very hearts. He hates to see the destructive nature and power of sin in a life. And he commissioned the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus Christ, in full cooperation with God the Father and God the Spirit, presented himself a lamb for the slaughter that he might save you from your sin. The specific power of the Lord. He is able to save. He doesn't talk about educating. He doesn't talk about relocating. I'll tell you what he does do. He does relocate you because he takes you off the broad road and he sets you on the narrow road. He takes you out of the loud, slimy pit and he puts you on the rock, Christ Jesus, doesn't he? Boys, I wish you would get excited sometimes whenever we think of what God has done for us. But let me tell you, he'll deal with the specific sin that's in your life. You see, he's a comprehensive savior. Some of you can be self-righteous. Some of you can be full of pride. Some of you can be opinionated. Some of you can be addicts to drunkenness and alcohol and to debauchery. Some of you could be even addicted to pornography. I want to tell you tonight, he'll deal with the sin that's specific to your heart. If you're listening to me on the internet tonight, he can deal with the sins in your life. Because the Bible says he is able. Listen, let me tell you, Whenever you're getting something done in the house, let it be the plumbing, let it be the wiring, let it be carpentry, let it be tiling, let it be decorating, you wouldn't get some old boy that doesn't know what he's doing. Well, maybe you would. Maybe you thought he could do it. But you'd soon discover he couldn't do it, wouldn't you? Well, let me tell you, Jesus Christ has proven he's able by the fact that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Here's a little text that talks about the specific power of the Lord. But I want you to notice, not only does he speak about the specific, he deals with the specifics, sin. But notice the supreme power of the Lord. Listen, don't allow yourself to think that the habit or the addiction or whatever has come upon your life cannot be dealt with. Because he is mightier than Satan and sin. And Satan to Jesus must bow. And there is nothing that the devil has done in your life that Jesus Christ is not able to undo. And there is nothing that has happened to you that he can't heal. There is absolutely nothing in your life that Jesus Christ can't turn around and make you a new creature in Christ. Because he is the supreme Savior. If I were to take time to study through the miracles of John's Gospel, every miracle that's in John's Gospel is specifically designed to show a specific power of the supreme power of Jesus to set and to meet the needs of every heart. Whenever he healed the blind man, he says, I am the light of the world. Whenever he fed the 5,000, he says, I am the bread of life. Whenever he called Lazarus out of the tomb, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. There's never been a Savior like Jesus. And there never will be, Charlie. I could do with Charlie up beside me. You see, it does what it says on the label. And he doesn't make false promises. And it says in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. What is the gospel? Good news. When you've got good news, there has to be bad news. Because good news can't be good news unless there's bad news somewhere. The bad news is we're condemned to die under the power of Satan and sin. But glory to God, there's life in Jesus Christ. The supreme power of the Lord. Notice not only the supreme power of the Lord, but notice the successful power of the Lord. I love that lovely invitation in Isaiah chapter 1 and 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. Glory to God. You know, from the depths of depravity, from the lowest caverns of sin and shame, he will deliver and set you on that rock, and he'll give you a song and a smile, and he'll give you a new name, a new direction, a new joy, a new... Oh, I tell you something. If you read through Philippians, there is one central message in the little epistle of Philippians, and it says, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. And who's speaking is Paul. Where is he? He's in prison, chained to a soldier. And he has nothing to rejoice in by way of physical circumstances. But he's everything to rejoice in his position in Christ. Because he has lifted it above the condemnation of the world. And he's given us an inheritance which remains undefiled and fades not away. And he will do it. The successful power of the Lord. He is able to save to the uttermost. Careful note must be made of his intercession. Because he ever liveth to make intercession. Maybe you feel the Lord today. Maybe you feel the Lord last night. Maybe you feel the Lord last week. Maybe you feel the Lord last month. And the devil comes with his condemnatory finger pointing at you and said, you couldn't be a Christian. Look what you did. Look what you said. Look where you were. I want to tell you, he ever liveth. What does he mean? What is he saying here? He's ever standing before the throne of grace and he's pleading the merits of Calvary. Maybe you lost your temper last week and you never found it again. That's a bit sort of a paradoxical, isn't it? I lost my temper. That means you'll never be angry. You see, whenever anybody loses it, I believe they found their temper. Isn't that right? Oh, it wasn't too far away. Well, whatever the case, maybe you got angry. Maybe you reacted in an improper way. Maybe there was words said between you and your husband. Maybe there was something taking place last week. I want to tell you, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And there's no point in you allowing the devil to point the finger and accuse you, because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us and keeps on cleansing us from all sin. Now, there's no excuse for always losing the rag. If you have a continuous failure on any area of sin, there is one who's able to deliver and save to the uttermost. Or some old preacher once said, he saves from the guttermost to the uttermost. Hallelujah. He can take a beggar. He can take a prostitute. He can take a blackguard. And he can put them in the choir and they'll sing his praises for all eternity. He ever liveth. But notice the sufficient power of the Lord. You'll never need anyone else. You'll never need anyone else. In fact, you need him now. But there'll be nothing else or no one else will be able to save. And whenever you're walking with him, you'll never need anyone else. Though you might be lonely, sad. See, there's some here and you're holding back from trusting the Lord because you think you couldn't keep it. Well, I discovered there's no it to keep. Didn't you, Jeannie? He keeps me by his power. And listen, the secret is listening to his word. John 10, it says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And listen, don't let the devil lure you away from a loving, close relationship with God. Because he's only whispering to drag you away, as Jeannie explained. But there's a God who whispers into your circumstance, into your situation, and speaks to you personally and individually. And as he speaks to you, he's able to guide you through the quagmire of sin and fallen nature. And he will land you safe on heaven's table land. Maybe there's someone here and they're sad and lonely. Maybe you're confused and unaware. Maybe you're doubting and troubled. Maybe you're weak and vulnerable and you feel like that. But there's one who comes alongside and empowers you to live above the power of the devil, the world, sin and shame. And he'll give you victory in your heart. You know when he'll do it? He'll do it now. Right now, where you are. Wherefore, he is able to save to the uttermost. Some people talk about that's to do with depth. Some people also say to do with height. I believe it's to do with time. He's able to save to the uttermost of eternity. You put your hand in the hand of the Master, and you can guarantee you follow, you listen, you yield, and you commit. And you will be sure of heaven and home. What's the alternative? The power that now worketh in the world. And that's a nasty one. Let's bow together in prayer. Let's pray. Father, you have been speaking in this service this evening. And you've been touching hearts and lives, we believe, with all of our hearts. And perhaps, Lord, there are those who would love just to know that deliverance from sin and shame and defeat. We pray, Lord, for added grace and for deciding grace and needed grace. Because, Lord, we have discovered and discussed that there's no other power able to save outside the power of Almighty God. Lord, give wisdom, desire, we pray. And give victory in every heart. Lord, close out the devil and everything he tried to say and do. His old damning voice that he comes to heart saying, leave it to next week or next month or next year. Lord, help the people to realize tonight that he's a liar. And his only reason for lying is to damn the souls of men and women. Expose him for who and what he is. And bring victory into every heart, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 549, we're going to finish with singing this next hymn. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. 549. Thanks, Sammy. Church this evening, in the foyer there is a little stand there with leaflets and booklets that will be of help to you. If there's maybe something there that could help you, if God has been speaking to you, you'd like some further help, I will have this little booklet, Let Him In. It's just a little booklet of Noel Grant's that has been greatly used as souls have been seeking for the Savior. If you're not saved and you don't know the Lord, or perhaps you're cold in heart and backslidden and you'd like to get that relationship back on track again, where Andrew's here and I'm here. I'm not sure how alert Andrew is, but he's had a busy day with the weekend with the youth fellowship. But we'll certainly do everything we can to help you seek the Lord at this time. Do please speak with us as you leave. Let's just bow in prayer. Father, we do pray that you will part us in your fear with your blessing. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the blessed presence of the Holy Spirit continue with us today and into the days that lie ahead. For we ask it in the Savior's name. Amen and amen.